There is more fallout and developments to discuss when it comes to the firing of FBI Director James Comey and the broader political implications. So that's what we'll do this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network. We will start with President Trump defending his decision in a Fox News interview on Saturday to fire Comey and accusing Democrats of being hypocrites for being upset about it. We'll also talk about the future of the Russia investigation, who might lead the FBI next, the future of leading that agency. Several candidates were reportedly interviewed over the weekend. And we'll also wonder if you think this is going to negatively affect our democracy overall. Do you have faith in government right now? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. His areas of expertise include U.S. foreign policy globally and in particular the Middle East. He was also the former senior advisor to the director of policy planning at the State Department between 2009 and 2011. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks very much for being with us.
Sure.
Well, let's talk a little bit about, on Friday, President Trump seemed to suggest that there were recordings of his conversation at dinner with former FBI Director James Comey. He was warning Comey to not leak to the press about, their conversations. What did you make of that tweet that he better hope there are no tape recordings of this conversation?
Yeah, another very odd tweet in the long line of odd tweets. I mean, the people were already drawing comparisons to Watergate, the biggest constitutional crisis in our country's history since the Civil War. And everybody remembers the tapes in Watergate. And for him, the president, to, you know, draw attention to the possibility that there might be tapes didn't seem to help him at all and reinforced the sense that this could be comparable to Watergate and all the directions that that went in terms of a president being impeached and having to resign. So it was hard to understand. And the notion of making a threat, a veiled threat even, on Twitter, you know, we tell our young people not to do that, let alone the president of the United States.
Yeah. James Comey hasn't spoken out about anything yet, but he did in a letter to his FBI colleagues say that he has always believed that the president can fire an FBI director for any reason or no reason at all. Is that how you see it?
Yeah, I think he's trying to be very upstanding and sort of the letter of the law reads that way. It was really not so much that he fired Comey, but the stories that were put out as to why he did it. The first round of stories was it had something to do with the way Comey had gone about the Hillary Clinton email issue, which was kind of hard to digest given how much praise candidate Trump and even President Trump had heaped on Director Comey for that. And then after that story went out and all those people went on TV and the internet and radio to defend it, he came out and said, no, I was really thinking about firing him anyway. This memo from the, you know, Justice Department wasn't, it was just kind of telling me already what I decided to do. So the question of credibility and can you believe what the president says is really the issue here, even more than the firing.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out why the president would issue a veiled threat about possible recordings of conversations with FBI director or former FBI director Comey. Perhaps because Comey, it was reported that he told a colleague that he was asked for loyalty during that meeting with President Trump, but he said he could only promise honesty.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, Comey has at least reportedly said that he would come to Congress, but actually would testify in public, not in private, because I think he wanted to make sure he controlled his message more than it was interpreted by senators, whether it's Republican or Democrat. You know, the notion of asking for loyalty, I mean, that comes out of political systems that are authoritarian, monarchies, dictators. It's kind of like kiss my ring. And, you know, you can ask it for the people that work for you in the White House. You know, when I've worked for secretaries of state and presidents and presidential candidates, they want to know that you're loyal, not to the point where you would break the law, but to make that request to the, you know, the head of the nation's principal law enforcement agency is quite scary. And I think really goes beyond partisanship and policy to fundamental issues about whether our democracy can stay healthy.
Well, on Saturday night, there was an interview that President Trump did with a Fox News host, Justice with Judge Jeanine, her program, and he was asked about the timing of the firing, and he said there really was not a good time.
Well, there's no right time. Let's say I did it on January 20th, the opening, right? Then that would have been the big story as opposed to the inauguration. And I was thinking about it then. I was thinking about it during this period of time. There's really no right time to do it.
So what did you make of the timing of this?
Yeah, the timing seemed to a lot of people to have to do with the most recent round of testimony from Sally Yates, the former acting attorney general, and from Director Comey on the Hill, including when Comey was asked how he felt about the whole, you know, the way the Hillary Clinton email thing played out, and he said it made me mildly nauseous. And those hearings had happened, and he was asked specifically whether part of the Russia hacking investigation involved the president. He didn't say yes, but he didn't say no. And sure seemed to be a connection between those. President Trump says there isn't and tries to say, oh, it was just sort of random. But everything we're hearing, things he reportedly said to people at the golf course 2 weekends ago, sure seems to be linked to the Russia investigation picking up steam, reports that Director Comey had asked for more resources for it. That seems a lot more plausible, I think, to me and a whole lot of other people than the president just saying, oh, you know, it was one time or another.
And he also in that interview said that he was a bit surprised by the negative reaction to the firing because he thought that Democrats would welcome the firing of James Comey.
Number one, they're hypocrites, but it's beyond being a hypocrite. You have these tremendous, the level of hatred toward him, especially during that period of time with Hillary Clinton, where he gave her a free ride. I mean, he gave her a free pass like nobody's ever, ever gotten a free pass. And during that period of time, the level of hatred by the Democrats, also the Republicans, to be honest, because, you know, first he got a free pass, and then he came out with Comey 2, and then he came out with Comey 3, and the ultimate thing is he gave her a free pass. So they should have liked him.
He went on to say that he thought the Democrats just decided that they would make some political hay out of this. Your reaction?
Yeah, I mean, we could get into a dispute of how he reports the events. But the issue is the why. You know, the how and the why of the hiring, even more than the act. Would Hillary Clinton have kept James Comey if she'd become president of the United States? You know, there's an argument that says no, and there's an argument that says yes. It's why he did it. It's if you really had reasons to do it, why did you put out these, you know, stories that were both false and deceptive? What about this relationship to the Russia hacking? There's a pattern here. Three firings he's done of acting Attorney General Sally Yates, the New York prosecutor, attorney, and Director Comey all have something to do with the Russia investigation, which, you know, has the potential of raising enormous, or as he might say, huge issues about his presidency. That's the real issues. And it's not just Democrats that are raising those. I think it's a lot of Americans out there, some, I think, who even support Trump, but are really concerned about the way he's conducting himself as president.
In that interview, Trump said that he did want to get to the bottom of what sort of meddling or involvement the Russians had on the election. But he continues to claim that the investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians is fake news.
Yeah, and, you know, he had his deputy press secretary go out and say, we'd love to have this. It's going on too long. It's barely started. And the whole notion is to try the calls for an independent prosecutor have been to really get at this. When Watergate happened, we had not only Senate committees, but we had independent prosecutors. And the American people would like to know. And if he's so convinced that there's nothing there, then he should allow the investigation to go forward at full speed, total green light, give it the resources, get it out of the way, and let him go on with the business of the country. But that's not what he's doing.
So we will check news from NPR and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll welcome questions and reactions from listeners at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. So what do you want to see happen to this investigation about possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign? Do you think a special prosecutor is needed or not? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our guest about new developments and the continued fallout over the firing of FBI Director James Comey. And we are welcoming your questions and your reactions and your thoughts about what should happen next. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Our guest is Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. We have some callers, so let's go to the phones. John in Boaz is with us. Hi, John.
Good morning. I was also fired as the chief inspector for the city of La Crosse because I called out the reason for their river drownings, which we lost 8 young college students.
Right, John, that's not really our topic, though.
But I do agree with your guest, and Donald Trump is in a very powerful position, and he's human. He's made a mistake. He should admit it and go on with managing our country. Because if he's in bed with the Russians, they could turn on him as faster than a dime.
All right. I'm not sure what John, he should admit he made a mistake. I mean, if Trump himself or the Trump campaign did have, was cooperating and discussing how to interfere with the election, Bruce Gentleson, that's more than a mistake, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure would be. I mean, what so far has been acknowledged by all the, not just Comey, but many of the other leaders in the intelligence communities, is the Russians definitely interfered with the election. Their intent was, at minimum, to hurt Hillary Clinton. And the question of whether or not there was collusion, you know, is really a crucial question. It really is a constitutional question, and that's what still is being trying to be investigated. And it does raise the question of, where does the relationship go? What's the leverage they might have over this president, personal or political? And there really are things that we really need to know.
Yeah. What did you make of the letter firing Comey, where the president said, "I want to, you know, thank you for assuring me on 3 separate occasions that I was not a target of the investigation."
Yeah, people have trouble. There have been a number of reactions to that, most of them negative. I mean, one is in a very short letter firing him. If your real intent was the Hillary Clinton thing, why to draw attention to this other issue? And it reinforced the notion that the Russia investigation was the driving motivator. Secondly, is if that conversation happened, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but a lot of the lawyers have said that would have been illegal, a possible obstruction of justice on the part of the president to ask that. And it would have been inappropriate, if not illegal, for the director of the FBI to say that in an investigation that was ongoing. So that again raised more questions than it provided answers for.
Yeah, he also keeps saying that President Trump keeps saying that this investigation into possible collusion is a witch hunt, and it's fake news. And he says there's no evidence of it. In fact, he again pointed to former Director of National Intelligence James Clapper as saying that he has seen no evidence of collusion on multiple occasions. James Clapper this weekend said, "Hey, wait a minute. I said I didn't see any evidence, but I also didn't see any evidence clearing him. It's not something that he was, that he had been given, not given access to, but it's not something that he was directly looking into. What do you make of that?"
Yeah, Director Clapper's statement was obvious evidence, and that's why you have an investigation. And so I think he has repeatedly said that this is something we need to. This is a man who spent his whole career in the military and in the intelligence community, including the Cold War years, and doesn't have any illusions about the Russians. It's not that they're necessarily going to continue to be our enemies, but you have to really wonder when you see them trying to build these relationships. And there's at least circumstantial evidence or initial evidence of any number of people in the Trump entourage, both business and campaign, who did have relations. We've already had the National Security Advisor, Michael Flynn, fired for that. And, you know, the president is innocent till proven guilty like any American, but that's sure plenty of basis for investigators to keep on looking to see what's there.
Yeah. In an interview on This Week on ABC, James Clapper also said that he feared that President Trump was eroding our institutions, our government institutions. Let's take a listen.
I think in many ways our institutions are under assault, both externally, and that's the big news here, is the Russian interference in our election system. And I think as well our institutions are under assault internally.
Internally from the president?
Exactly.
Because he's firing the checks and balances.
Well, I think, the founding fathers, in their genius, created a system of three co-equal branches of government and a built-in system of checks and balances. And I feel as though that's under assault and is eroding.
So what does that mean if our institutions are eroding and under assault, Professor Gentleson?
Yeah, for him to say exactly is pretty powerful. I mean, this is someone who's cautious with his words, who is not political. Anybody that accuses him of being political, really, it's just not true. He at least probably of anybody in this is political, and he's basically calling attention to say to people, you may have your policy preferences, you may have your political, allegiances, but this is about the system. And, the president of the United States has a real credibility problem. If he were to get on TV tomorrow and tell us there was an international crisis, would we be able to believe him because he has done so much, which leaves so much of the American public feeling that you can't trust his word? And that was a really big statement by Clapper. I think it goes beyond what he said, and it expresses his concern. He's out of office now, but he's, a patriotic American who believes in the system and thinks that's what we should focus on. That was a real, call for focus on the core values that we have as a country and whether or not our president is violating them.
So, do you think our president is violating our system? Do you think that he was right or wrong in the firing of James Comey, even as Comey was leading an investigation into possible collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Bob in Hurley is with us. Hi, Bob.
Hey, good morning.
Morning.
Say, I just wanted to comment that I actually find it interesting. First of all, let me state that I'm a former Democrat, now registered independent. I find it interesting that there's been no leak of information regarding the collusion issue. As to the firing, and by the way, I think we could agree that there are a lot of anti-Trump folks on both sides of the aisle. So I in this environment where there's so many anti-Trump folks, it's interesting to me that there's been no leaks.
Yeah, what about that? Professor Gentleson, some are saying this would have been the week to leak.
Yeah, you know, I've worked a lot with people in the, you know, when I've been in government and had my security clearances who are in the national security community, and they're dedicated to their jobs. And the Senate Intelligence Committee is doing a better job than was done on the House side. And as the chairman, Senator Burr, who's actually a Republican from my state, North Carolina, said the other day, the staff is working on this. You know, these are professional investigators, lawyers, et cetera. And this is what the FBI was doing. And I think they understand that if there is a serious issue here that raises fundamental questions about our Constitution, they want to be true to their own, you know, pledges and commitments to their work. And that's what they're doing. And I think your caller is right. That shows a real seriousness of purpose going on. Not that there's no information, but that people really believe how serious it is. And it's not the everyday stuff you just sort of invite a reporter for coffee, you know, and tell them.
Well, following the firing of Comey, his replacement for now, acting FBI Director Andrew McCabe, testified before Congress. He assured lawmakers that he would not bend to pressure from the White House and that the investigation would continue. Does that assure you?
You know, it's hard to say yes, because it's not clear he's going to stay in the job, number one. I think he was, you know, he made clear that any reports that the FBI, that a large number of FBI agents and officials were anti-Comey, he made clear that was not true and that he was deeply loyal and respectful of his former boss. I think a lot of what we're learning is coming from media investigations. I think we really have to have, you know, a number of prongs to this. We really have to have a serious intelligence committee on the Hill among Congress. We need the FBI, and we do need a credible independent prosecutor to really get at this, who can dedicate all of their resources and attention to these issues, particularly the ones relating to Russia.
Over the weekend, 8 candidates for FBI director were interviewed replace James Comey. Trump told reporters that he could make his decision public before leaving for the Mideast and Europe on Friday. Those interviewed for the job include, Senator John Cornyn of Texas, former Congressman Mike Rogers of Michigan, the acting FBI director, Andrew McCabe, 2 female candidates, former Bush administration officials, Alice Fisher and Frances Townsend, were also interviewed. Any thoughts on the process or the candidates?
I think it's important that the person be seen as above politics as possible, not somebody close to the president. But even that, you're asking somebody to come in and run this enormous agency. I don't think it'll resolve the public's concern about, you know, about the relationship. They'll have an awful lot to learn. There's a lot of other things the FBI needs to be doing. And frankly, I think Congress will use the confirmation hearings to ask a lot of questions, as they should, because this is not just about who the person is. It's really about what the mandate is, what the independence is, and not just a statement from the White House. Yeah, but what happens the first time this new director wants to follow a lead? And so I think this is in some ways important that the FBI have a new director, but it's really not the core issue one way or the other. If it was somebody really political, like they first talked about Chris Christie, that would have just, you know, kind of blown the roof off of things. So, but it's not going to. It's not going to put the issue to rest, even though the White House is going to try to do that.
Yeah, and I noticed that Milwaukee County Sheriff David Clark is not on that list, though he had been, you know, whispered about. Yeah. It seemed that would be unlikely. Are you concerned that the next FBI director is going to be, afraid to be independent because a pink slip could be on the way?
I think the most important thing would be for them to say to those conducting the investigation in the FBI, you know, you proceed at full speed. Do this diligently. Do this consistent with your own professional standards. And I'm not going to get in your way. And let that go. And then when necessary, as time goes on, as they learn the job and learn all the details, to be a leader of that. But right now, I think the best way to lead is to let the professionals do it. I think the crucial thing, no matter who is head of the FBI, even if James Comey still was, is an independent prosecutor, because it's the only way. That's what we've done when we've had other constitutional crises like Watergate, and that's really a crucial element. So even the best case for the FBI, I don't think fully deals with the whole scope of the kind of issues we're facing.
Yeah, I think, and I'll have Brianne Schasso, my producer, confirm this, but I believe Senator Chuck Schumer said over the weekend that Democrats would oppose any confirmation of any new FBI director unless a special prosecutor was appointed.
Well, that's right. I mean, I think that's, you know, trying to prevent the White House from doing their spin that, oh, everything's okay now, we have somebody in there to do it. It's not something that the FBI alone can handle. In the past, the FBI has been an investigatory arm that's worked with special prosecutors, worked in confidence and secrecy with the committees, but it doesn't really resolve the issue. And I think these issues have been there for a while, and the whole way that Trump fired Comey just reinforced the notion that there's a there. And I think the Senate Democrats are within their rights and are really serving the American people. Not, you know, sure, there are things they play politics with. But this, I think, is something where it's really about the country's future.
Saeed in Green Bay is with us. Hi, Saeed.
Yes, good morning, Joy. Thank you very much for taking my call. Listen, if the Russians' intention was for the American public to lose faith in our election democratic process, they have succeeded because, personally, I have lost faith. And we can blame the Russians, or we can blame WikiLeaks, or we can blame James O'Keefe. But what they did is they shined the light on the reality of American politics. I didn't lose faith because of the Russians. I lost faith because it became very apparent that the Democratic Party's machinery was colluding with the Clinton campaign to eliminate one of the most authentic politicians there's been on the left. I lost faith because Democracy Partners, a Democratic-aligned organization who trained people to incite violence and successfully shut down political speech in Chicago, was meeting daily with the Clinton campaign. So, yes, I did lose faith in the American elections process and system. And how do I know now that what is the issue of the Russians isn't just a attack of the deep state?
We only have a minute before our newscast, Professor Jenelson.
Yeah, I think your call is raising some important issues that are on people's minds that go beyond the election and Trump and Hillary Clinton, about, you know, whether they feel the system is working well, whether they feel their own candidates are getting a hearing. And I respect that. But the issues that are being raised by the Russia investigation, as James Clapper said, are both about, you know, a foreign adversary interfering in our system, and whether or not the person that got elected president has a relationship with them that is inappropriate and illegal. And that's just of a different magnitude, I think, than the other issues, with all due respect to the importance of those issues.
We are talking with Bruce Jenelson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University, about the firing of James Comey and the issues raised by it, and new developments and a reaction and aftermath over the weekend. Welcoming your questions and views at 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network. So do you think there should be a special prosecutor appointed to continue the investigation into possible collusion between Russia and the Trump campaign? What do you think should happen next following the firing of FBI Director James Comey? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. There are several candidates, as we just heard in NPR News. There's a dozen candidates that are being considered for the next FBI director. We talked a little bit about that with our guest just before news. Bruce Jennelson is our guest, professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. And one thing we didn't talk about, Professor Jennelson, is that there is the idea of Merrick Garland being the next FBI director is being floated by some. Senator Mark Lee, a Republican from Utah, specifically says that Merrick Garland should be considered. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that was one of those kind of almost in-your-face responses to Democrats. We'll give you somebody that you really liked, and then you're going to have to let them in. And, you know, we haven't heard that from the White House, you know, one iota. And, you know, even to say that it's going to be done by Friday, I mean, it takes so long, sometimes too long, but you really need a serious process to vet people for positions, everything from ethics to financial disclosures to anything in their past that might, you know, be a problem. And for a position like this, to say it's going to get done, like, you know, as quickly as you decide, you know, on a small business decision, the president is trying to show that he makes decisions quickly. But that's part of the concern. There's a sense of, are you really serious about this if you think you can decide the FBI director just in a few days? I think that's a very problematic part of the process.
Yeah. Some are also, Republicans in particular, saying, hey, under a new FBI director, we should open up the investigation into Hillary's emails. So what do you think the chances are of that?
You know, pure deflection. You know, let's change the subject, go back to something that, you know, we know the, you know, rhythm and rhyme and chorus to. That's, you know, not what's facing the country. And the question of, as James Clapper said, you know, external efforts to interfere in our system and questions of fundamental internal challenges to its values. That's, you know, it's hard to take that seriously, I think, in some respects, other than the ardent believers. That leaves people thinking the Republicans are doing everything they can not to face up to the real problem.
Yeah. You mentioned that making this decision by Friday, which apparently is what the White House is saying, that actually Trump himself is saying that he wants to make his decision public before Friday. That's when he leaves on an overseas trip to the Mideast and Europe. This is his first trip, foreign policy related trip as president, I understand. What are you watching for or thinking about?
Yeah, there's two dimensions to it. And, you know, presidents often do take foreign trips to get away from domestic problems. But this trip was scheduled before, so it was on the books. The first dimension is this idea of going to Rome and meeting with the Pope, Saudi Arabia, I think it's going to be in Riyadh, the capital, but to, you know, the cities, the country where the cities, they're holy to Islam are, and then to Israel and meet with Prime Minister Netanyahu, and to do the, you know, three of the world's major religions, not the only three religions. And the argument they're putting out, or the theme, is nobody's ever done this before. It's interesting. I'll be really interested to see how Pope Francis deals with the meeting. He has a strong personality of his own, and he may just be very, you know, formal, or he may, you know, get into a few issues he deeply believes in, climate change. He's issued a, you know, Vatican encyclical about the problem of climate change. So it'll be interesting how it goes. Then he goes to Europe to meet with the G7, the collection of major industrial democracies, and then to Brussels with the EU and NATO. And, you know, there he's trying to show that, you know, he's maybe changed his view, that he wants these organizations to change a little, but he's supportive of them. How he pulls all that off will be very important. I think foreign leaders will be respectful. They're not looking to pick a fight with a new president. But everything I hear, you know, internationally, is they have serious concerns about many aspects, including his volatility.
Back to the Comey firing. And a meeting that President Trump had in the Oval Office with the ambassador from Russia and another Russian official on the heels of firing James Comey. What did you make of the optics of that?
Yeah, I really didn't get that at all. I mean, first of all, presidents rarely, if ever, meet with foreign ministers of other countries in the United States. They meet with heads of state, and maybe the foreign minister accompanies them. When our Secretary of State goes overseas, they do get to meet with heads of state because, you know, people, we're a powerful country. So, number one, the whole notion of meeting with Foreign Minister Lavrov at that level, why? You know, why not have your Secretary of State, your National Security Advisor, Defense Secretary handle it? And secondly, the notion of doing it the day after, and I got to believe some people, I don't know this, but I got to believe some people on his staff said, I don't think this is a good idea, Mr. President. And for whatever reasons, he said, no, I'm going to do it. And I think it just compounded his problems for both of those reasons.
Yeah. There are reports, probably unconfirmed, that Vladimir Putin requested that the president meet with the two. Would that be would that surprise you?
It wouldn't surprise me, but it's still not the basis for it. You know, presidents, you know, will have, they may, what they may do sometimes is have the foreign minister meet with the national security advisor, and then they do a drop-in. They come in the room, they say hello, and then they go out, but they don't make it like it was their meeting. And, you know, there are reports that at some point Putin and Trump are going to meet. I don't know if it's true or when that's going to be, but, you know, it's just not done in Washington, and then to do it the day after, even if it was previously scheduled, was a real, I don't get this at all.
Yeah, and I'm not sure of the specifics, but apparently some White House officials were shocked, and upset that a photographer that came in with the Russian entourage took a bunch of pictures of the Oval Office and was tweeting them, and they didn't expect that. They didn't think that was going to happen.
Well, not just the White House officials, people in the intelligence community have been really concerned about that, not just about the photos, but, you know, in this day and age, what else is in that equipment that you're bringing into the White House? That, and you had huge reactions from people in the intelligence community saying, no, don't do this, you know, not just for the photograph, but, you know, we had all this hacking that was done, not by the Russians, in fact, to the Russians and others. And so what else was in that, all that equipment they brought into the White House, and why didn't people pay attention to that?
Yeah. We have a couple more calls, but while we're on the possibility of what else is in that equipment, do you think that recordings do exist of I don't know, meetings that the president has with other government officials like James Comey?
Well, you know, there is he had a history of recording things as a businessman in Trump Towers. We don't know. That's why him raising this issue, as people saying now that you raise it, we need to know. Going back to the campaign, there's this question of what, you know, that British agent had who had the dossier. Mm-hmm. Are there, you know, there have been allegations that there's tapes out there of Trump in Moscow and compromising behavior. So we don't know the answers, and investigations are supposed to get to the truth on those, and that's why we need investigations.
On Meet the Press yesterday, Senator Lindsey Graham said, you can't be cute about tapes. If there are any tapes of this conversation, they need to be turned over, but I doubt there are. But we need to clear the air. Your reaction?
He's being very cautious. Nobody, especially a senator, doesn't want to say, oh, you accused me of having them. So he's not saying, he's saying, I doubt they are, but he's using it, he's raising it as an issue on television to say, you know, let's know for sure. You know, he and Senator John McCain, Senator McCain was very outspoken about the firing of Comey and the way it was done. And those have been two strong Republican voices in the Senate for real concerns about Donald Trump as commander-in-chief.
Yeah. And Senator Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, when asked about this over the weekend at the Wisconsin Republican Party convention, said that he didn't want to keep talking about hypotheticals. And he also said that he thought that when the president was referring to possible recordings, that would be recordings that Comey might have made. Does that make sense?
Doesn't make sense to me. The notion that the FBI director would go into the White House and record the president, A, as a practical matter, you know, if you got caught doing that, you'd be in jail. And B, you know, it's just not done. And I think, you know, I've had my disagreements with James Comey, but I feel like he was respectful of the position and was not someone who would violate the law. And so I can't imagine he did that. That's another, frankly, effort by Republicans to deflect attention from the real issues and, you know, come up with hypotheticals that are pretty far-fetched. And so I don't see anything there.
Ron in La Crosse is with us. Hi, Ron.
Yes. I'd just like to say, you know, one of the, I would call it an alibi, they said the reason they fired Comey is because of the way he was handling the investigation into Clinton's emails. Well, if that were true, that controversy probably was last year. Why didn't Trump fire Comey just as soon as Trump took office? You know, I think that Trump is, what he's worried about is the probe into the Russian connections. And I think his firing of Comey smacks of Nixon's Saturday Night Massacre.
We have just a minute to go, Professor Gentleson. If Trump wanted to put a kibosh on the investigation, that doesn't seem to have happened.
No, I think sometimes, you know, I think people do things that backfire. And his tendency is to be very impetuous in his decisions. I'm right. I don't want to listen to advice. I don't want to listen to a memo or an expert. And it seems to me to be what he's doing. And I think that you and your caller are right. I think this has raised more concern about the Russia connection than was even there 10 days ago.
Yeah. So in our last 30 seconds, what are you looking for next?
I don't think the revelations are going to stop. You know, there may be some leaks, but it also is journalists and other investigators investigating this. I think we're going to continue to hear more that raises concern about the Russia connections. So I don't think we're done with that yet. And, you know, it's a crucial issue for our country.
Thank you so much for being with us. Bruce Gentleson, a professor of public policy and political science at Duke University. And thank you to Brianne Chasseau for producing and directing this program. And thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. It's our state capitol report next. We'll follow up on the Wisconsin Republican Party's annual convention in Wisconsin Dells over the weekend. We'll talk some about the likelihood of Governor Walker's third term and the Republicans mounting a race against Tammy Baldwin. That's coming up.